Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about Jesus Christ this Christmas season, the fact that he was born, that the God of this universe condescended to become one of us. We call that the incarnation. Big churchy word, but it simply means that Jesus became one of us. He took upon himself flesh and blood and became human. He was fully divine, and in that human body live the fullness of the Godhead, but he was also fully human, and that's the mystery. How can a single person be both fully divine and fully human? But that's what the Word of God declares, and that's who this Jesus was. And he died to take away our sins. He was raised back to life so that we could have everlasting life. And he ascended into heaven. He's there preparing a place, and there's going to be a point in time he's coming back for each and every one of us who have named the name of Christ. That's our great hope, and that's what this Christmas season is all about. It truly is a time of hope, and certainly in this world today, we need hope.
Yes,
I think in every situation that that comes across this ministry as far as counseling, somebody's having a problem, they're, you know, in this darkness, they don't know where to turn, and what they're looking for, first and foremost, is a little ray of hope. And that once they have that ray of hope, then they can start seeing a way out of their problem. That's what the world needed at the time of Christ when he was born. The world needed a ray of hope. And not only did God provide a ray, he showered it down in the person of Christ Jesus. So he is our hope. And that's what we celebrate this Christmas season. I love what the writer of Hebrews did with Jesus. It's a wonderful book, and how he organized this book was through a series of comparisons and contrast. So he took all the things that were important to the Jewish people, like Moses, like the law, like Abraham, like the temple, all of those things, and said, let's put those on the table, and then let's compare those to Jesus Christ. And in all ways, Jesus was superior.
Yes.
And he is superior. Why? Because he's God in human flesh, and he has the capability of doing for us what the law could not do for us, what Moses could not do for us, what Abraham could not do for us, and that's to take away our sins and to give us life everlasting. That's why this Christmas season is so vitally important, for us to refocus on the person and work of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about him today.
Let's talk about it on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Plenty of open lines right now at 844-32-BASIC. We want to hear from you. We want to share the airwaves with you. So give us a call if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss. Give us a call right now, 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question, twofold question from our dear friend Lucy in San Diego that plays right into the discussion today. It's concerning forgiveness versus reconciliation. Scripture says Jesus reconciled the world to himself. Since forgiveness alone is not salvation and life is found only in Christ, what does it mean that the world is reconciled? A friend used to say that an unsaved person is a forgiven corpse. Can you comment? And the second part of the question also is the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10 an ongoing thing or a one-time thing at the end of our lives here on earth?
Very good questions. And Lucy, thanks for writing to us. We certainly appreciate you doing so. Concerning reconciliation and forgiveness, reconciliation is really the stated end as far as God is concerned. He wants to reconcile mankind back to himself, and there was only one way to do that, and that was through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So reconciliation required forgiveness.
Yes.
Without forgiveness, there could be no reconciliation. So God made a declaration to the world that he is for us, not against us, through the death of Jesus. And that's for all people. He's removed that barrier that stood between God and man. Now we are to receive that reconciliation. That's why Paul begged the Corinthians in his second letter. He said, you know, God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. And he says, I implore you, be reconciled to God.
Yeah.
So God did his part through Jesus, and the world is reconciled unto God through the death of Jesus. We receive that reconciliation by faith. And every time the New Testament writers, and particularly Paul, talk about reconciliation, there's this declaration of what God has done, and then there's this invitation to receive it. We see this in Romans chapter 5, and this is one of those passages that you need to mark in your Bible and to really get a hold of what it truly means. So Romans chapter 5, and it starts in verse 8, and this is a very significant passage concerning reconciliation. So starting in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a pretty amazing statement just yes. in and of itself, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That was a demonstration of God's love. He goes on to say, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So God did the work in Jesus. He puts it out there for us. We receive that by faith. So there's an offer, there's an acceptance. That's what by grace through faith means. And we see that right here in this particular passage. So we were reconciled to God when we were God's enemies. I mean, before God had done anything inside of us to change our hearts, he did the work to make reconciliation possible. And so he reconciled us, and then through saving grace, he works something in our heart that changes us from unbelief to belief, that changes us from an enemy in our minds to a friend in our minds, and we receive that reconciliation. That's the whole work of the gospel inside of us. So everything's been done. It's available to anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord, but it is received by faith.
Yeah.
We are saved by grace through faith.
Mm-hmm.
We see that pattern throughout the New Testament.
Absolutely. The second part of that question we'll get to in just a moment. We have plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC. Want to hear from you. I want you to pose your question or your particular issue on this edition of Basic Gospel. Second part of the question for Lucy, also the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Is that an ongoing thing or a one-time thing at the end of our lives here on earth?
Well, I see that as a one-time thing. You know, as far as believers, we're not going to be judged as the world is judged. Mm-hmm. Those who have not received Christ, they still stand condemned.
Right.
And that's going to be what they hear from God at the end of the age, is that the condemnation that they were under while they were alive still stands.
Yeah.
And they're going to experience what is known as the second death. You know, and from that, there's no return. We come into this world dead. That's the first death, dead spiritually. And we have a chance to come alive in Christ. And how do we do that? By grace through faith. This gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, touches our hearts. It regenerates us, makes us alive together with Christ. But that comes through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Those who reject Jesus, their condition just stays the same as when they entered the world. They're dead spiritually.
Right.
And when they stand before God at the final judgment, that condemnation will stand. They'll experience the second death. For those of us who believe, we're simply going to be, we're going to hear from God the same thing that we've already heard from him here and now, that there's been a declaration of righteousness. There has been a change of identity, that we truly are the children of God. So all that we know to be true by faith in Jesus, as far as what the Word of God reveals about us, that's going to be confirmed at the end of time. And that's a one-time situation.
Yes.
Now, there's also the Bema Seat judgment, and I think that might probably happen at the same time as well. But that's not about sin. That's not a judgment of sin or a judgment of our identity of in Christ, whether we believed or haven't believed. That's a judgment of our works. And so there will be rewards that come along with that judgment. And I think we will get to see at that Bema Seat exactly how God has worked in our lives while we were alive here on planet Earth. And I think that's going to be a fascinating time as we see how God has used us in the ways that he has done. And I think it's going to be a big surprise to us.
Yeah, a lot of times we won't even know that we have done something.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, Lucy, good questions. We appreciate hearing from you as always. And friends, we love getting your email questions. If you'd like to pose one, we'd like to address it on a later edition of Basic Gospel. And you can find the email link at basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Right now, open lines, 844-32-BASIC. And that's why we're here live. I say it every day. That's why we're here live, so that you can participate in the program. This is your program, so participate in it. 844-32-BASIC. Question from Elmer in British Columbia. So you usually state that on your radio program that salvation is something granted forever. Nevertheless, Hebrews 10:26 through 31 is saying something that has me confused. Would you please clarify?
It's a great question, and it really ties back into our subject matter this month. Who is Jesus? Who do we say that he is? And if he's God, then he certainly can save us, and not only save us, but save us forever. And that's what he's done in Hebrews 7. He says this, the writer of Hebrews says this: now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. So the Levitical priesthood, it just went from one generation to the next. And can you imagine being born into that bloodline? You have no choice as to what you're going to do. You're going to be a priest. And when you take up office, you're going to realize that your work will never be completed in your lifetime. And once you die, you're going to pass on that work to the next generation. And they're going to stand and try to mediate between God and man. But there was another priest that came along. His name was Jesus. He wasn't out of the Levitical bloodline. He was out of the line of Judah. And there's no mention about priest coming out of that bloodline, but Jesus did, and he stands today as our high priest, different from the Levites. And here's why he's different: but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. The priesthood of the Levites was temporary. His priesthood is permanent. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus has an indestructible life, so his work on our behalf is indestructible. He's come to live inside of us. He has given us his life. And the only way that we could lose eternal life is if Jesus lost his life. Well, that's not going to happen. God can't die. And he's not going to die. And he has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So he has saved us completely. So with that as the background, what in the world does Hebrews 10:26 mean? And the passage is scary when you read it for the first time. And if you don't know the context, but when you put it in the context and you see what he's talking about, it really makes a lot of sense. So there in Hebrews 10:26, he writes this: if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. So there's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that was made once and for all. And that sacrifice was offered up to the people of Israel as the sacrifice that would open up the way into God's presence. There was no other sacrifice that could do that. All the other sacrifices, the blood of bulls and goats, were simply an annual reminder of their sins. It just really highlighted the barrier that remained between themselves and God. But this sacrifice took away that barrier. The curtain was torn from top to bottom. The way into God's presence was now made known. You either receive that by faith or you reject it. That's what this deliberately keep on sinning is all about. It is a deliberate rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the once for all sacrifice that he made. And that knowledge had been given to the people of Israel during that time. They had received the knowledge of truth that Jesus Christ died to take away sins, and his sacrifice was far superior and more effective than the sacrifices of bulls and goats. So if you reject the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, all that is left is a fearful expectation of judgment, of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. The raging fire will not consume his children, only the enemies of God. So the deliberate sin, the rejection of Christ, means that you're still an enemy, that you're still an enemy in your mind toward God. And it says, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? That's a deliberate rejection of Jesus as the once-for-all sacrifice. And if you reject him, there's nothing left but judgment. So he says, how, you know, that if you've treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him and who has insulted the Spirit of Christ. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So this is a warning to those who are rejecting Christ. If you are rejecting the sacrifice of Christ, this is what you can expect. There's no other way to have forgiveness of sins. There's no other way to have life everlasting. There's no other way to be declared righteous in God's sight other than through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
His sacrifice makes us holy in the sight of God. His sacrifice perfects us in the sight of God. And if we reject that, we're just left condemned, waiting for judgment at the end.
Absolutely. Well, Elmer, thank you for your question. We appreciate hearing from you and all those of you who write us an email to pose your particular question. We're going to go talk to Tom in Charlotte, North Carolina here in just a moment. But Bob and Richard and our friends, when you write or call to offer a word of encouragement or to share a newfound understanding of God's grace in Jesus Christ, it's a fresh reminder of one of the primary reasons that we're here on the air every day. And when you give to help Basic Gospel on the air and online, we know that God has used this ministry to make a difference in your life. And for that, we are truly grateful. Together, of course, we have been blessed with the marvelous privilege of being ambassadors for Christ. It's that 2 Corinthians 5 passage that we talked about. Together with you, it's our hope to reach greater numbers of those of you who hear, believe, and live the good news of his love, grace, and life. If you've supported Basic Gospel in the past, you are, of course, the reason we are here. And if you have not begun to support this ministry, we ask you to become a partner with us right now. We need your generous support at this time. You'll find a support link in the header at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. Either way, we hope to hear from you today.
Yes, we do. And I was thinking about what you were saying there, Bob. As far as this world is concerned, there's so many problems out there, and people are struggling to find hope, to find help, to find encouragement, and by supporting a ministry like Basic Gospel, by standing with us, you can be a part of the solution.
Absolutely.
Offering real hope, real help, real encouragement to folks who desperately need it. So give today. Make a generous contribution today and make a declaration in doing so that you want to be a part of the solution.
Yeah.
Offering people, pointing people to the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ himself.
Absolutely. Well, again, the prominent link to support the ministry at basicgospel.net or by calling our operator at 844-41-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go and talk with Tom listening to us in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Tom.
How are you this evening?
Doing fine. Nice to hear from you.
And great to hear your program. I have three verses I want to ask a question about. They are 1 Timothy 4:10, 1 John 2:2, and John 3:17. The three of them, to me, suggest that there will be ultimate universal salvation.
Well, Tom, I know there are some verses that seem to imply that. I don't think that's what those passages do imply, because there's too many other verses that talk about those that reject Christ, that they remain under the condemnation that they came into the world with. And there's too many passages on judgment,
Here's what I'll suggest. I'll suggest that there is an end. Time does end, and that heaven and hell are in, and when those who are thrown into the lake of fire forever are in a different dimension, and that dimension is not a chronology of events. So when 1 John 2:2 says that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours but the whole world, and when God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world was through him might be saved, and that God is the Savior of all mankind, especially those who believe, there must be a time when after they're paid the penalty, not the price. They cannot pay for their sins, because only the blood of Christ can pay for their sins. But when the penalty is finished, at that time, I'm certain that he will be the propitiation for them, and that the whole world and all of creation will be saved.
Well, Tom, I understand that belief system. I've certainly done a lot of study into that, and I just come away and say I can't buy into that. I don't think inclusion is what the Word of God teaches. I think the Word of God teaches by grace through faith. I think the Word of God teaches that we must be born again, that new birth has to happen. And that new birth is dependent and hinges upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without new birth, there is no life. And that's what the Word of God is all about. Jesus came that we might have life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. All these things were written so that we might know that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, we might have life. That's the gospel message. It's all about life. We were once dead, and now we're alive. And how does that new birth happen? Through faith in Jesus. By grace, through faith, we're born again into the kingdom of God. So it says that not all are going to be born again into the kingdom. And I think that's what the Word of God teaches, and that's what we're going to stick to, Tom. I appreciate your call and your thoughts, but we're just going to have to choose to agree to disagree. But we appreciate your call. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. I want to remind you, friends, that there are many valuable resources available to you at our online store, and you'll find it at store.basicgospel.net. We invite you also to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe to join our email list. Sign up today and receive links to the daily radio broadcast, blog posts, and other ministry updates. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. You know, if you like what you hear on Basic Gospel every day, if it's made a difference in your life, we ask you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, at Basic Gospel RDO. And for sure, please include, as we said earlier, include Basic Gospel in your giving to the work of Jesus Christ. You'll find that support link at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.